Now this analysis of Yosef that we're about to embark upon is really about the connection between Parshas Vayeshev and Chanukah.
Okay.
Now it is true that Parshas Vayeshev very often falls out on Chanukah or right before Chanukah, but one could ostensibly argue that that's simply a matter of coincidence. You know, Ezra had to establish the various krios,
here,
the various krios for the whole year round based on the calendar, and it happens to be that Vayeshev more often than not coincides with Chanukah. But those who try to get a deeper insight into the relationship between the Hebrew calendar and the parshios as they fall out in the calendar, they assume, and the Shalom made a whole religion, so to speak, out of this. I mean, this is a whole PhD thesis to try to find the connection between the calendar, meaning that time of the year and the holidays of the year, and those parshios that we read. Now, there may be 1,001 answers to this question: what's the connection between Vayeshev and Chanukah? Tonight we're going to study one particular answer, Shivim Panim LaTorah. As I told you, there are so many different ways of understanding the Torah. The way that we're going to understand the Torah tonight is the way of the Imre Noam. His name was Reb Meir Halevi. His last name was Horovitz. And he came from a town called Parmishela. So he was known as Rabbi Meir Miparmishela. And he wrote a sefer called the Imre Noam. He lived approximately 150 years ago. And my father, Zichron Levrach, used to quote him very often. But here he becomes, you know, the prime mover in our answer to the question how Vayeshev connects with Chanukah. So I'm excited about this because it will give us a bit of an insight into Parshas Vayeshev. And at the same time, it'll begin to put us in the mood, hopefully, for Chanukah. So that's why I wanted to share with this with you tonight. So we're going to talk about the following. The Imre Noam claims that although there are 8 days of Chanukah, nevertheless, the most important of those days is the 8th day itself, which is very paradoxical because the Beis Yosef, who came 3 centuries before the Imre Noam, was perplexed about the 8th day of Chanukah. If you realize the nest, the miracle was really only 7 days. They had enough shemen for one night and it lasted for 8 nights. So the nest, the miracle, was only 7 nights. Why do we add an 8th night? And there are 1,001 answers to that question. But according to the Imre Noam, the real answer to that question is that the 8th day of Chanukah is the most important of all days. And the reason for that is because we have to understand what was the battle, what was the agenda of the Greeks, we call them the Hellenists, against Judaism. Because this was religious persecution. We're not talking about the Romans who just hated the Jews and wanted to destroy them. We're talking about the Greeks who had a philosophical debate against Judaism. And they rejected the spirituality of Judaism. And according to Megillas Antiochus, and again I'm not going to go into a discussion about the, significance, or that's not the word I'm looking for, the validity, no, that's not the word I'm looking for, the authority, let's use that word, of Megillas Antiochus, which is again a long discussion, but let's assume for our purpose that Megillas Antiochus is a valid source for Chazal, for understanding the deeper meanings of the Torah. One of the major, if not the major, battles of the Yevanim against the Jewish people was the mitzvah of Milah. It's fascinating to me that in the 21st century, we're seeing this again. Mm-hmm. There's a whole history of anti-Semitism that expressed itself in anti-Mila. Mm-hmm. Why were the Yevanim, of all mitzvahs, we have 613 mitzvahs, they were fighting a battle against the mitzvah of Mila? And the mitzvah of Mila is represented by which day of Chanukah? the eighth day of Chanukah, because Milah is on the eighth day. Now again, if we had time for another 2 hours discussion, you could ask me why Milah is on the eighth day. Well, that's not for us tonight. We're just going to accept that there are deeper meanings as to why Milah is on the eighth day. The eighth day of Chanukah represents the defeat of the Yevonim as far as the mitzvah of Milah is concerned, because in their battle against Judaism, they fought a very primary battle against Milah. Now, the mitzvah of Milah in the what we call the Sphiros is represented by a sphere called Yesod. So that if you go through the seven midos, you get to Yesod. Yesod is also the midah of Yosef. Yosef HaTzadik is called Tzadik Yesod Olam. That's a pasuk in Tanakh. And Yosef represents or personifies the midah of Yesod, which is the mitzvah of Milah. Now, according to Chazal, the mitzvah of Milah has to do with what we call Geder Erva. So that in the area of immorality, in the sexual immorality, the battle against the taiva, the desire of immorality, is manifest in the mitzvah of Milah. God gave us the mitzvah of Milah as a geder, as a fence for morality in this area of Erva. Yosef HaTzadik, more than anyone else, as a representative of Yesod, is the mitzvah of Milah. He represents Geder Erva. In fact, Chazal is going to tell us that what kept us in line in Mitzrayim, and we didn't have any mixture with the Mitzrios, was Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef HaTzadik was the one who had this tremendous impact. In a sense, he added to the spiritual DNA structure of the Jewish nation a Geder Erva, the ability to overcome Erva and the temptation to violate Erva Arayos. Yosef, therefore, represents Yesod. He's the Tzadik Yesod Olam. He is going to face the greatest challenge in Mitzrayim of Erva. And what episode am I referring to? When I say that his challenge is going to be Erva in Mitzrayim?
Potiphar.
Excellent. Ashes Potiphar. We cannot even begin to imagine what the nature of that challenge was. How intense and how difficult. It was like a mountain, that you know, Mount Everest. You know, if you'd ask me, put me in front of Mount Everest and tell me to climb the mountain, I don't think I have a chance in a million. That's how difficult the challenge was of Ashes Potiphar. But Yosef was able to overcome that. Why? Because Yosef is the embodiment of the Midah of Yesod, Tzadik Yesod Olam. That's why he's called Yosef HaTzadik. And Yesod is the mitzvah of Milah, which means the ability that a Jew has within him somehow to overcome the temptation for Erva. And Yosef is able to overcome that. In that sense, Yosef is going to be the antithesis of Yavan. Why? Because the Hellenistic culture put all the emphasis on the beauty of man, his physicality, and the freedom that man would have to have all sorts of what we would call immorality relationships. You know, the Greeks were known for their hedonism, but a specific word when you have like a party and you know there's all sorts of things going on in that party.
Orgies.
Excellent. That was the word. I haven't heard that word in 50 years, so I appreciate
that's
that you. That's you remind me of a word from my childhood, an orgy. So this is what the Hellenists were famous for. In fact, on the side, please don't ask me any questions here. But the story goes that even Aristotle himself, as great of a philosopher as he was, he participated in these orgies. And they asked him, Akasha, how can you get involved in such immorality? So he said that a mathematician is not a triangle. Anyway, don't ask me any questions on this. But so this is what the ancient Greeks were about. And they couldn't tolerate the mitzvah of Milah. And they attacked the mitzvah of Milah because the mitzvah of Milah meant Geder Erva, which means that we have to be very disciplined in the area of morality in this particular area. And Yosef therefore represents that victory against the Yevanim, because he represents the Yesod, he represents the overcoming of the temptation of Erva, and he is therefore representative of the mitzvah of Milah, and that's the eighth day. Now, just in light of this introduction, we're ready for the Imrei Noam. Now, there are two fundamental principles that underlie this chiddush of the Imrei Noam. One is that the Avos were able to glean, or shall we say, tap into Kiddushas HaMoados, I'll explain what I mean in a minute, even at a different time of the year. In other words, it's irrelevant when is Pesach. For the Avos, even if on the calendar it's not Pesach, they could still dip in the whole year round, 365 days out of the year, to the Kedusha, the special sanctity, the mystical power of Pesach, or Yom Kippur, for example. It could be that for the Avos, today, which is the 19th day of Kislev, today could be Yom Kippur. What does it mean to get Yom Kippur? Today is not Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is on the 10th of Tishrei. But the answer is that their holiness was such that they could tap in to that sanctity of that holiday regardless of what calendar date you're in. That's number one. And that's going to be an entire presentation of Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Mibarditchev, the Kedushas HaLevi, which again, if you like to see the text inside, it's in the middle column of your page one, in a paragraph that starts with the word Vakan, and at the end of the paragraph he says, Ki Avos HaKadoshim Yochlu Lehamshich Kedushas HaMoados Afil B'Emtza Shana. It was the middle of the year, and yet they could tap into the Kedusha of a certain specific time period. And this leads us to the second conclusion, that the spiral of time goes through, penetrates all of history. Which means that although Yetzias Mitzrayim happened at a certain date and a certain year, right? You can see the timeline. I think Art Scroll, some of its commentaries, has that timeline. But nevertheless, that sanctity transcends time. It's above time. Which might mean that Avraham Avinu could have celebrated Pesach, Zechel Yetzias Mitzrayim, even before Yetzias Mitzrayim. Now that sounds very strange to our ears. But the answer is that there's a certain sanctity that's above time, and already at the time of Avraham Avinu, he could somehow fulfill the mitzvah of matzah, for example, even before Yetzias Mitzrayim historically had already occurred. Given those introductions, we begin to understand the Imrei Noam. The Imrei Noam, which you'll see on the bottom right of page one, the bottom right, says the following. What day of the year, so to speak, again, we're talking in an abstract sense, conceptually, what day of the year was it when Yosef was confronted with the greatest challenge in his life? It was on Chanukah, because again, that challenge is the challenge of the Yevanim. And which day of Chanukah?
The eighth day
of Chanukah. Why? Because the eighth day of Chanukah is the day in which we celebrate Milah, the mitzvah of Milah. And the mitzvah of Milah represents the defeat of the philosophy of the Yevanim. So that Yosef, on the eighth day of Chanukah, which is the celebration in terms of Kedushas HaZmanim, of the sanctity of Milah, on that day, he is going to tap in to the sanctity of the eighth day of Chanukah, which is the Milah, and using that sanctity of Milah, he will be able to overcome what is the greatest challenge to Erva, namely Eishes Potiphar.
The temptation of immorality.
Now, what happens on the eighth day of Chanukah in Yosef's life? Three different things happen. The first thing that happens is he's challenged by Eishes Potiphar on that day. The second thing that happens is that he looks towards the window. Now, how do I know he looks towards the window? Because the pasuk says, this is in your first paragraph, Vayehi kayom hazeh, please underline those words, kayom hazeh, we'll come back to that, those two words later. Vayavo abayso lasos malachto, v'ein ish mianche beso shoma babayis. So the Gemara in Sukkah says that what's the emphasis here on the bayis? It's an emphasis on the window of the house. Be'osa shah, at that moment, when Eshes Potiphar comes to Yosef and they're alone together in the bayis, Yosef looks towards the chalon, towards the window. Now, I don't know if you've ever had this experience where you're alone, or you think you're alone, and yet you feel something like some presence with you. I don't know if you've ever experienced that. So obviously you think you have to check into Bellevue because you must be crazy, but other people might say you're having some sort of a psychic experience, and other people might say it might be Ruach HaKodesh, that God is visiting you in the form of a revelation that you are having in this private place. So Yosef is now alone in a private room with Eshes Potiphar. No one is around. And he's going to be faced with the greatest challenge of Erva in any in all of history. So I'm just dramatizing it. So now he feels the presence of someone else. Someone who is there to guide him and to give him an extra element of chizuk, of strength, to overcome this great temptation. And he looks to the window. In a minute we'll see why he looks to the window. But who appears in the window?
His father.
His father Yosef, Yaakov. Now what is the significance of the window? Why is Yosef in his house looking to the window? So the Belzer Rebbe, not this Belzer Rebbe, but the two Rebbes before them, him, right? The Rebbe before this one was Rabbi Arla, but the one before that was Rabbi Socher Dov. He says the following. Why is Yosef looking to the window of his house? Yosef is in his house and he wants to pray to the Almighty. Not only on this occasion, but on a regular basis, on a daily basis. So why does he turn to the window? And the answer lies, says Rabbi Socher Dov Mibelz in a Gemara in Brachos. The Gemara says that a person should always pray in a house that has windows. Why? Because the window links him up to all of Klal Yisrael. How does the window link him up to Klal Yisrael? Because all of Klal Yisrael prays towards the Beis HaMikdash. And by praying towards the Beis HaMikdash, the prayers of Klal Yisrael unite, integrate into one prayer, and they rise up to heaven. That's the Beis HaMikdash. And now the Gemara tells us that when you're alone in a house, you should daven towards the window. Why? Because the window somehow leads you towards Yerushalayim. And this is based on a pasuk in Daniel. Again, we'd have to take out an English translation because Daniel is written in very heavy Aramaic. And it says in Daniel, V'kivon pischeyem lebe alisa neged Yerushalayim, that the windows of Klal Yisrael, I don't know if you have to take this physically and literally, but are organized towards Yerushalayim. They give you a direct connection to Yerushalayim. So the chalon of a bayis is the greatest choice, is the first choice for praying in a house, because somehow what you're doing by praying towards the window is you're allowing your prayers to go through that window and end up in Yerushalayim, in the Beis HaMikdash. And that's going to connect your prayers with the prayers of all of Klal Yisrael. So now, what's happening is that Yosef HaTzadik is faced with a great challenge. He now turns in prayer to God to help him overcome this challenge. To which point in his house, to which location in his house is he going to turn? To the window. Why? Because when a person prays in a house, he should pray towards the window. And that's going to give an extra power or efficacy to his prayer. It's going to connect his prayers to Yerushalayim, to the Makom HaMikdash, to the prayers of all of Klal Yisrael. Okay, now, what happens at that moment? It is the eighth day of Hanukkah, and Yosef HaTzadik is being faced with the greatest challenge of Eishes Potiphar. He looks towards the Chalon in prayer, and guess who shows up? Dmus diyukno shel Aviv, his father Yaakov. His father Yaakov, we'll soon see, is going to play a major role in the battle against Yavon, in the battle against sexual immorality, or this temptation of Erva. So Yaakov Avinu is now going to impact on his son Yosef to give him an extra element of strength of Geter Erva. Geter Erva meaning to fortify himself against the temptation of Erva. And that's going to happen, not coincidentally, on the 8th day of Chanukah. So we said the 8th day of Chanukah represents which mitzvah? The mitzvah of Milah. The Yevanim are attacking Milah because they want us to live a life of hedonistic pleasure where all bounds are all the protections are lowered, and just have a free reign. All the restraints are removed, and just have a free level of erva without any inhibitions, without any discipline, without any restrictions. That's Yavan. Milah, on the other hand, represents, as we said before, the getter of Erva. It's on the eighth day. On this eighth day of Chanukah, Yosef is faced with the challenge of Yavan, because as we said before, in the name of the Kedushas HaLevi, all the holidays have an inherent power to give Kedusha, to uplift a person, inspire a person, and fortify a person with that certain unique Kedusha of that holiday. And it really doesn't matter what day of the week you're up to or what day of the calendar you're up to. If you're one of the Avos, you're able to draw from that sanctity at any time. But the Imre Noam claims that in this case, Yosef is able to draw from the sanctity of the eighth day of Chanukah, which is the sanctity of Geter Erva of Milah, on the eighth day of Chanukah. It's on that day Yavan is going to come to challenge Yosef, because Yavan realizes that if they can defeat Yosef, who represents the Yesod and the mitzvah of Milah, then they can defeat all of Klal Yisrael. And that's going to happen during the many centuries, the 210 years of the Jews of Mitzrayim. They're going to fall prey to this temptation of Erva. Nein, Yosef is going to win. He's going to be victorious. He will defeat the temptation of Yavan in this area of Erva. And how is he able to do so? Number one, he is going to be Shoev. He's going to draw from the Kedusha, the sanctity of this day, which is the eighth day of Chanukah, which represents the Milah, and that's going to defeat the Yevanim who want to defeat Milah and undermine Milah. Number two, he's going to pray to Hashem by looking towards the Chalon and directing his prayers towards Yerushalayim, and God will give him the fortification, that extra Siyata Dishmaya, to overcome the temptation of Erev. Number three, on that day, who appears in the window of his room, his Makom HaMikdash, where he's praying? It's none other than Yaakov Avinu, and Yaakov Avinu is going to give Yosef the strength, the ability to overcome the temptation of Erva. And if this be the case, then we begin to understand the Megala Mukos, which is on page 1 in the left column. The Megala Mukos, his name was Rav Shimshon Shapiro, he lived 5 centuries ago. And he reveals to us the secrets of the Torah. Now, to understand the secrets of the Torah, we have to know about two different, very unique methods of revealing the secrets of the Torah. One is called Gematria, we're all familiar with that. And that means the numerical value of certain words. And number two, there's something called Notrikon, which means that every letter of a word is the beginning of a word. And one word could really give many, many different words, because the first letter of each word is now indicated by one word that has many letters to it. So the Megala Mukos says the following. The power of Yavan is vested in an individual by the name of Antiochus. Let's see if we can reveal the secrets of the Torah. When you have two forces, one is evil and one is good, they are what we call zeh l'umas zeh. There's a certain similarity, what we call in Hebrew shoveh b'shoveh, of two equal powers. So there's a power of Antiochus representing Yavan, and we're going to have to find within Klal Yisrael a power to defeat Antiochus. And that power is going to be Yosef. So actually, I wanted to photocopy this page for you, but if you have a calculator, you'll be able to do this, which I did with a calculator. Antiochus, which is Aleph Nun Tes Yud Vav Chaf Samach, equals 156. Yosef, which is Yud Vav Samach Pei, equals 156. Melech Yavan. Melech is 90, Yavan is 66, 90 and 66 is 156. Mm-hmm. Yosef represents now the Tzad HaTov, the spiritual power to defeat Antiochus, Melech, Yavan, because Antiochus is 156, Melech Yavan is 156, and Yosef is 156. And this secret is revealed to us by none other than the Megala Amukos 5 centuries ago and change, Reb Shimshon Shapiro. That's because Antiochus Melech Yavan is really the force of Yavan that is the what we call the Klipa of Pritzus. That means the contamination of Pritzus, of having this, you know, boundless search for pleasure without any inhibitions whatsoever. That's what Yavan represents, and that's Antiochus, and that's Melech Yavan. And they want to therefore undermine the mitzvah of Mila, because Mila represents Yesod. Yesod is that power, that spiritual power of Yosef to defeat Erva, to defeat Princess, and rather to introduce Kedusha. So Yosef's Kedusha is the Kedusha of Milo, which is the Kedusha of Yesod, which is the antiforce, the antithesis of Yavan. Yavan represents Princess, and they represent the number 156. Yosef is also 156 to counter that Princess and be Mavatel, that Klip of Princess, for Kedusha of Yesod, and to bring back the Geder of Erva, the Geder of Kiddush of Klal Yisrael. And all this is summarized in the language of the Megala Mukos on the last paragraph on page 1. But we're going to go on to page 2. Now, what does Yosef do on that very day that he is confronted by Ashes Potiphar? What special mitzvah does Yosef fulfill? And this is going to give us a fourth thing that happens in the Chalon on that day. What day of the calendar is it? We saw the Yemei Noam. It is the eighth day of Chanukah. What do you do on the eighth day of Chanukah? What mitzvah do you have? You have the mitzvah of lighting 8 candles. Now, where does Yosef light his candles?
By the window.
By the window. Why? Because the Gemara says that if you cannot light on the outside of your house, then you light by your window inside of your house. Yosef is now in base Potiphar Mitzrayim. There's no way that he can light Ner Chanukah on the outside. That would be extremely, you know, dangerous. That, you know, that you would not highly unrecommended.
But in Mitzrayim wouldn't have any connection to that being a Jewish thing or anything. It would be a meaning
all right,
of candles.
Good kasha. I don't have an answer to that kasha. But in any event, where does Yosef light his candles? So the Gemara says in Shabbos that Hayadar Baliyah, if he lives on a second floor, then Meinicho Bechalon. He should choose a window, and that window should be Samach L'Rishus HaRabim, and that's where he should light his candles. So now we're back to the Chalon of Yosef, right? We started with the window in Yosef's house, And that's where Chazal tells us in the Gemara in Sota, that's where Yaakov Avinu appeared to Yosef. When did Yaakov appear to Yosef? The moment that Yosef lit the 8 candles of Hanukkah in that window. And Yosef is now tapping in to that Kiddush of the 8th day of Hanukkah, which is the Kiddush of Milo, which is the Kiddush of Yesod, of the antithesis to Pritzus and a Geter Erva. And now, what he does is, he lights his candles in the Chalon. And what he's hoping for is now he's going to tap into the Kedusha of the 8th day of Hanukkah, which is the Kedusha of Milah, which is the Kedusha of Geder Erva, to defeat the Pritzus of Ashes Potiphar of Mitzrayim. And that's also the Klipa of Melech Yavon, which we said Antiochus is 156. Yosef represents 156. He is going to be the one who's going to defeat the Chashmonaim, so to speak, because he's going to input into the spiritual makeup of Klal Yisrael Geter Erva. That's going to allow them to defeat the Erva Sa'aretz of Mitzrayim and ultimately the Klipa of the Yevanim. And therefore, it begins to be clear to us that Yosef is now fighting against the Yevanim, not literally, but symbolically. On a conceptual level, he is fighting the same battle of the Chashmonaim. Just like the Chashmonaim are going to give up their lives and sacrifice life because of their Dveikus and Kedusha, and only our Dveikus and Kedusha to sanctity is going to allow us to defeat the Yevanim, so too Yosef, back in the day, way before the Chashmonaim, is going to be Dovek B'Kedusha. He's going to overcome the temptation, the Klipa of Pritzus, against Ashes Potiphar, and in doing so, he is personifying Kedusha, the Kedusha that is anti-Pritzus, and that Kedusha of Geter Erva is going to ultimately bring about the defeat of the Yevanim. So the 156 of Yosef, connected the 156 of Melech Yavon, or the 156 of Antiochus, really represents symbolically, says the Megala Mukos, Yosef's ability to already set the stage for the defeat of Melech Yavon. Yosef is 156. He has that power of Melech Yavon, but not on the negative side of Pritzus, of the Klipa, but rather on the positive side of Kedusha. And that Kedusha is represented by the mitzvah of Milah, which is the 8th day of Hanukkah, and that is the Kedusha that Yosef is tapping into, that Kedusha which is a Geter Erva that's going to defeat the Klipa of Melech Yavon, the 156 of Melech Yavon of Pritzus. And now, the Megala Mukos reveals to us what's called a Notrikun. A Notrikun, right? Until now we've been dealing with Gematria. The Gematria of Antiochus and Melech Yavon is 156, and that's the Gematria of Yosef. Now we're going to introduce Notrikun. And we're going to take the word Chalon, right? Yaakov Avinu, Yosef is, everything that happens on this day is happening at the Chalon, at the window. That's where his tefillos go up. That's where he lights the eight candles and links up to the Kedusha of Hanukkah. That at that Chalon, he has a visit, an encounter from his father Yaakov Avinu. Now let's look at the word Chalon. The word Chalon, which is made up of 4 letters, has a Lamed Vav in the middle, and it has a ches and a nun at the end. And if you apply the rules of Notrikun, then the word chalon means lamed vav neros Chanukah. So we're going to take the nun at the end of the word chalon, and the Notrikun of nun is going to be ner. We're going to take the ches at the beginning of Chalon, and the notrikun of that is going to be Shmona, meaning the 8th day, because the letter ches represents the number 8. So we have now 8 days of Hanukkah. Now, we paskin like Beis Hillel, which is called Mosif HaHolich. How many candles do we light in the entire 8 days of Hanukkah? If you start counting 1, and then two, and then three, until you get to the eighth day. The total number is 36. So there are 36 candles. Mm-hmm. Now, if you get the candles in the box from the Tel's Yeshiva in Cleveland, you'll see there are more than 36 candles in the box. That's because we need a Shamash. But leaving out the Shamash, there are 30, all I have to send you in the mail in order to get you to contribute to the Tel's Yeshiva is 36 candles. So it means that Yosef HaTzadik, on the eighth day, which is the day of his confrontation with Eishes Potiphar, the eighth day of Chanukah, is going to light his candles in the Chalon. And why in the Chalon? Because the Chalon symbolizes Lamed Vav Neros Chanukah. And that is what he achieves on this last day of Chanukah. So in a funny sort of sense, we could say that Yosef is doing what we call a Zechel Enes. He's immortalizing, whatever the word is, the Nes of the Chashmonaim. And how does he do so? By lighting the eight candles of the eighth day, which totals the number of 36, which is the Neros of Chanukah. And how can you talk about a Zechel Nes before the Nes ever happened? And then we go back to the Kedushas HaLevi that we spoke before about the spiral of time and many different indications that the Avos were Mekayim the entire Torah, including the Moadim that was Zechel and Yetzias Mitzrayim. And now Yosef is implementing a Zechel Nes. And where is this Nes going to happen? In the Beis HaMikdash, because the candle is going to last for 8 days. Where is Yosef's Beis HaMikdash? That's the chalon, that's the window of his house, because that's where, as we saw in the Pasuk in Daniel, that's where the tefillos of a person who's davening in a house should be directed towards the window, which is connected to Yerushalayim, and that is the Makom HaMikdash. So that Yosef is now linking up to the Kedushas Mikdash by lighting his 8 candles keneged hachalon, and that chalon is the tefillah that Yosef raises the supplication to God through the window, linking up with Yerushalayim, representing the Beis HaMikdash that connects all the tefillos of Klal Yisrael into one integrated whole. And this zecher of the miracle of the Chashmonaim, which Yosef implements by lighting the 8 days of Chanukah on the 8th day of Chanukah, is a zecher to the nitzachon, to the victory over the Yevonim. The Yevonim tried to destroy and contaminate Klal Yisrael with regard to Kedusha, with sanctity. They wanted to introduce priests into the behavior of Klal Yisrael. In that very same window, where Yosef lights the 8 candles, he sees the Dmus Dyukno of Yaakov, and that's going to save him from the sin, so that he's not pogame, he doesn't contaminate the Kedusha by having a relationship with Eishes Potiphar. And as a result of that great merit of Yosef in his Dveikus to Kedusha, we will defeat the Yevonim. The Chashmonaim will be able to overcome and be victorious over the Yevonim. Why? Because Yosef is the gematria of Melech Yavon, the 156 that we spoke about before. Yosef is going to transmit a legacy of Kedusha, and that Kedusha is going to bring about the miracle of Chanukah. So Yosef is not only commemorating the miracle of Chanukah on the eighth day by lighting his candles in the Chalon, but by defeating Eishes Potiphar and that clip of Pritzus, Yosef is bringing about the miracle of Chanukah. And it's not coincidental that the miracle of Chanukah will express itself in the Beis HaMikdash, the Kedusha, the Beis HaMikdash. It's not coincidental that Yosef will pray towards the Chalon. He will light his candles, his 8 candles in the Chalon, because that is linking Yosef with the Beis HaMikdash. And that's going to fortify Yosef with an extra element of Kedusha that's going to give him a Geter Erva and defeat Eishes Potiphar, the Klipa of Erev Pritzus. And that's going to inject into the spiritual makeup of Klal Yisrael the ability of Geter Erva, whether it's in Mitzrayim or whether it's throughout the history of Klal Yisrael. It's all because of Yosef. And that's what we call Zos Chanukah. The essence of Chanukah is on the eighth day. The eighth day represents, as we said, Yisod, Mila, the ability to overcome a Pritzus, a Taiva, a Yetzahara for Pritzus, but rather to substitute it with the Kedusha of Yisod, of the Mitzvah Mila, the Geter Erva, and all this happens on that great moment. Chazal organized a mitzvah of Alei Nisim, that after we light Hanukkah candles, we should recite a special prayer, a special paragraph thanking Hashem. And in that paragraph, there are two words that seem to be totally superfluous. We say, Li'amcha Yisrael Asisa Chua Gedola Upurkan, and then we add two words, Ke Hayom Hazeh. Well, if you go back to the first paragraph that we started with, the Pasuk says regarding the confrontation between Yosef and Eishes Potiphar, Vayhi Ke Hayom Hazeh. The exact two words, Kayom Hazeh, it's not coincidental that in the Alei Nisim, Chazal added two extra words, Kayom Hazeh.
In the
Haneros Halol, I meant to say, I'm sorry. I don't know. Do me a favor, I don't have the time now. Open up Haneros Halol. I think it's in Alei Nisim that we add to the Tefillah. It says, "Uli Amcha Yisrael Asisa."
After lighting the candles, you don't say Alisim. You said after lighting the candles.
Oh, I'm sorry. What I meant to say is in Tefillah, okay, in the Alei Nisim, or in benching in the Alei Nisim, we say, "Uchua Gedol Asisa Li Amcha Yisrael Kahayom Hazeh." What's Kahayom Hazeh? It's the same Kahayom Hazeh that appears in the encounter between Yosef and Eishes Potiphar when it says, "Vayhi Kahayom Hazeh." And the reason for this is that the mess that took place, and we recite that in Alei Nisim, is a result of the Kayom Hazeh of Yosef, because Yosef imparted into Klal Yisrael the ability of Geder Kiddusha, the 156 of Geder Erva, to defeat the Klipas Yavon, and that's going to ultimately lead Klal Yisrael to the defeat of the 156 of Melech Yavon of Antiochus, which means the Klipa of Pritzus, and we instead have Yosef HaTzadik, the Yesod of Geder Erva, and that happened Kehayom Hazeh on that very fateful day of the encounter with Eishes Potiphar that would now engrave in stone for all of history the ability and the potential of Klal Yisrael to defeat the princes of Erva with the Geder Erva that Yosef was able to inject into the spiritual code of Klal Yisrael. Now, it says in Megillas Antiochus that the Yevonim attacked three different institutions, three different mitzvos in Klal Yisrael. So one is Mila, as we discussed at great length, and the other two are Chodesh and Shabbos.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very fascinating that we started with the Imrei Noam. Let's get back to the Imrei Noam. The Imrei Noam says two very interesting things. Number one, he says that every Hanukkah, by definition, has Shabbos, sometimes two Shabbosim, but at least a minimum of one, and always has Rosh Chodesh, meaning Rosh Chodesh Teves. And every Hanukkah has 8 days, which is Keneged Mila. So we have Shabbos, we have Rosh Chodesh, and we have Mila. But he goes beyond. And he says the following, that if you take the words Bimei Matisyo Ben Yochanan, which are the opening four words of Alei Nisim, you will calculate it in the following way. Again, I did this with a little calculator. You can do it on as we speak. The word Bimei equals 62.
Mm-hmm.
The word Matisyo equals 861. The word Ben equals 52. And Yochanan equals 124. The totality, and I only did this with a calculator, is 1,099.
Okay.
Chodesh is 312. Shabbos is 702. Mila is 885. The sum total is 1,099. So these are the three enterprises or institutions or mitzvos which the Yevonim attacked, and we open up Alei Nisim by referring to Chodesh, Shabbos, and Mila with the words Bimei Matisyo Ben Yochanan. Chodesh, Shabbos, and Mila. And the Chashmonaim established 8 days of Chanukah, even though the Nes of the Pach HaShemen, as we said before, was only 7 days. But the answer is that they wanted to establish a holiday which would reflect the protection and the miracle of Chodesh, Shabbos, and Mila, that we would not succumb and lose the battle for these three institutions. So they established 8 days of Hanukkah, which would definitely include Chodesh, that's Teves, would definitely include at least one Shabbos, and would reflect Mila by adding the eighth day. So they added the eighth day in order to guarantee that the Shmona Sinei Hanukkah would be again would correspond not just to Mila and Chodesh, but also not just to Shabbos and Chodesh, but also to Mila as well. And here I want you to turn to page 3. On page 3, he quotes the Kolbo. And the Kolbo says explicitly that the reason why they added an eighth day to Hanukkah is Zecher leMitzvas Mila, because the Yevanim tried to undermine the Mitzvah of Mila. The eighth day of Hanukkah was added simply as a correspondence to the Mitzvah of Mila. And that's called Vizos Hanukkah, the eighth day of Hanukkah. Now that zchus of the Mitzvah Mila is great in its relationship to the Beis HaMikdash. It says that Aaron HaKohen was able to enter into the Kodesh Kadoshim, the Holy of Holies, says Rabbi Shmuel, b'zchus HaMila, because of the Mitzvah Mila. And the Mitzvah Mila is called Zos Brisi Asher Tishmoru, and when Aaron goes in, it says b'zos Yovo Aaron. And b'zos Yovan Aaron, is the word b'zos is an allusion to b'zos Brisi. It's the mitzvah of Mila. Therefore, we introduce the eighth day of Hanukkah, which is called Zos Hanukkah, where the word Zos is an indication of the mitzvah of Mila. And the eighth day of Hanukkah is a remez to the 8 days of Mila. And that's because the Yevanim wanted to undermine Mila with the Geter Pritzus. And we, in turn, wave the flag in the midst of Mila, which is the Midah of Yesod, which is the Geter Erva against the Klipa Pritzus of Yavan. And now we can begin to understand why it's Yaakov Avinu's image that Yosef's witness, what Yosef perceives in the window. What is it about Yaakov Avinu that plays this important role? So if you're looking on page 3, you will see on the left column, again, I'm just going to make a note of it that we're fast forwarding a little bit. Is that the Yukno of Yaakov is going to bring the Kedusha, the Bris, onto Yosef? And why is that so? So if you take a look at the Shilte Giborim, which is quoted by the Mardechai at the end of Perek Bamem Adlik, and you'll see this on the left column of page 3. It says that when Yosef was appointed as the head of Mitzrayim and his brothers came down to him, he had a seuda, he had a special meal or a banquet that he prepared for his brothers. Vayar Yosef, when the brothers finally bring down Binyamin to Mitzrayim, it says, Huva Es hanoshim habaisa v'tavuach tevach, and they ate together a special meal. Comes along the Shilte Giborim and says that the word tevach, tes beis ches, is the same as Hanukkah, and that this special meal that he, Yosef, arranged for his brothers was none other than the seuda of Hanukkah.
There's no special
Suda
of Hanukkah.
So even though there's no special Suda of Hanukkah, it says in the Shulchan Aruch that somebody who makes a Suda on Hanukkah gets a Kirma Mitzvah of Ribui Suda on Hanukkah, which Shiros V'Tishbachos. Now, when we make a Suda on Hanukkah, the purpose of that Suda is Hodah, to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but now Yosef is in Mitzrayim. What shaykhus is there to set up a Sudas Hanukkah and thank Hashem for the great miracle of Hanukkah in Mitzrayim? And the answer is that the miracle of Hanukkah takes place because of Yosef's Midah of Yesod, his Geter Kedusha, Geter Erva. And that's what's going to fortify the people of Israel in Mitzrayim during the bitter exile, the long exile in Mitzrayim. And that's going to give the Jewish people later on in history the ability to defeat the Yevanim. So Yosef is setting the stage here for the Hodah of Hanukkah. And basically he's saying, God, you gave me that strength, you fortified me with that extra ability to defeat the Klipa Pritzis of Yavan, and hence to bring about the ultimate ness of defeating Yavan. So therefore, that Hodah by Yosef is very, very meaningful. And now we get to the question of Yaakov. Where does Yaakov fit into this picture? So back in Parshas Vayetze, the Torah describes the birth of Yosef. And it says, Vayehi kasher yolda Rachel es Yosef, Vayomer Yaakov. Yaakov tells his father-in-law, Lavan, Shalcheni v'eilcha el mekomi vel ula'artzi. Rashi says, why does Yaakov, at the moment of the birth of Yosef, turn to Lavan in the very same verse and say, send me out, I want to go back to my land? Says Rashi, Kasha yolda Rachel es Yosef, nolad sitno shel Esav. It means that when Yaakov gave father Yosef, at that moment was the birth of the adversary that will ultimately defeat Esav, as it says in Ovadia, Ve'aya Beis Yaakov Eish, Ubeis Yosef Lahava, Ubeis Esav Lakash. So we have here both Yaakov and Yosef, and they form this tremendous fire, and that fire is going to burn up Esav and make him into Kash, like a straw that goes up in smoke. So all this happens at the moment that Yosef is born, because at that moment Yaakov is now equipped with a son who will defeat Esav. And Kevin Shinolad Sitno Shaloso Rasha, Vayoma Yaakov Alovan Shalcheni. Send me on my way. And here we get to page 4. We only have 3 minutes left, but let's see if we can figure out how. Oh, the last two paragraphs. Okay, I wanted to work out the connection between Yaakov and Yosef, and how does it relate to the defeat of the Yevanim and the greatness of the Chashmonaim? And that has to do with the mitzvah of Milah. The Gemara says about the mitzvah of Milah, you'll find 13 brisim. The word bris with regard to Milah appears in the Torah no less than 13 times. And that number 13 has a special significance because it represents the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim. Now Yaakov is the numerical value of Yaakov is the same as 12 times Havaya. If somebody has a moment to do this calculation, I wasn't able to do this. Havaya, I think, is 26. How much is 12 times 26?
260
and 52, so it's 312. Okay. So, I don't know how this works out. Yodua Yaakov Misparo Sheva Havayos. Okay, I have to work this out. And Yosef Misparo Shisha Havayos. So we have 7 plus 6 is 13. So that represents Havaya, which is the Midah of Rachman, times 13, because the Yud Gimel Midah Sarachman.
You said 12.
What I meant to say was 6 plus 7. How much is 6 plus 7?
13.
So if I said 12, I meant to say 13.
So 26 times 13?
No, I don't know about 26 times 13. What I'm saying is that if Yaakov represents 7 times Havaya, Yosef represents 6 times Havaya. 7 plus 6 is 13.
Yes.
Havaya is the Midas HaRachamim. If you multiply that by 13, you get the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim.
So Havaya is 26.
No. I'm not talking mathematical terms. What I'm saying is that the Midah of Rachamim appears no less than 13 times.
Okay.
And the 13 times is the combination of Yaakov plus Yosef. And that Midah of Rachamim is going to bring about the ultimate defeat of our enemies. Only because of the Rachamim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So when Yaakov appears to Yosef, he's combining these two elements that are together going to defeat Esav, because their combination thereof represent the Midas HaRachamim. Again, I'm a little pressured for time. We'd have to go through this But again, Mila also represents the number 13, because how many times does the word bris appear in the context of Mila? 13 times. And these are the 13 brisos of the bris Mila. So it means that in the parasha of the mitzvah of Mila, which was given to Avraham Avinu, 13 times the Torah repeats the word bris. And that means that the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim are connected to the mitzvah of Mila. And that mitzvah of Mila is going to be personified by none other than Yosef, because Yosef is Tzadik Yisod. Yisod is the mitzvah of Mila. And therefore, when Yaakov Avinu appears to Yosef in the Chalon, it was on the 8th day of Chanukah, that means that on that day, the 8th day of Chanukah, which corresponds to the 8 days of Mila, which have the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim because of the word bris that repeats itself 13, that is going to give Yosef the ability through that extra siyata d'shmaya, through the meat of rachamim, to defeat the temptation of Eishes Potiphar. So that's the 13 that represents the 7 of Yaakov and the 6 of Yosef, that together represent the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim, and that on the 8th day of Chanukah is going to be the mitzvah of Mila, which is repeated bris 13 times, that fortifies Klal Yisrael with the midah of rachamim. So we'll just end with a tefillah that alavai we should be zochen our time to the midah of rachamim shamayim, and we should follow in the footsteps of Yosef, the 8th day of Chanukah, the mitzvah of Mila, and the great midah of Yisod, Tzadik Yisod Olam, a dedication to Kedusha, to Yisod, to defeat with Geter Erva the Klipa of Yavon. And in that way, Mirtz Hashem will bring about the ultimate redemption, Kei Yiratzon.